Hello everyone. Today we're just going to get cracking straight away. When I was putting my little girls to sleep a couple of days back, we were listening to the Protocol Son. I realized there's something that I hadn't taken note of in that script. And that was just the bit that says, was saying to the other son that had been home, said, "Why are you so upset? You've always been with me." That struck a chord with me. So I said to Illy, I'm curious to see what you think about this. Is it a question that you've ever asked yourself? Do you feel like the other son who was at home that I've been here, I've been working hard, I've been putting in my best, and you know, I've not got, you feel like you're lacking that approval. Is grace unfair? Is it unfair to give it to somebody who's not done half of what you've been doing, you know?
Yeah, somebody who collected half the inheritance.
Welcome to CC Natters, where we challenge the norms and break free from the walls of religion.
My name is Ileola.
And I am Mo.
Yeah,
let's start the conversation.
Just think about the elder brother thinking, this guy is back. He already lavished and squandered half the inheritance of my dad.
I didn't take mine. I left my own at home.
No, we are better off half now.
Yeah.
The way my dad is acting, I'm guessing
he will probably share mine again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where maybe we see grace becomes unfair. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, daddy.
You need to make him understand that, you know,
what he did fumbled. Was wrong. Exactly. Imagine the dad was an African parent.
Before you come back to this house.
While that story is very exciting, I can never cease to think about how we tell the story in the church setting.
Yeah.
We've always made the story about the son that left the home.
Okay.
Perhaps we tell the story that way because maybe the narrative of the son that left the home speaks to a few concepts that we believe in our religious setting. Mm-hmm. Because we identify as the son, we feel that the story then is about the return home.
Yeah.
But that story is not necessarily about the son. Because when Jesus was telling the story, it was actually narrating the heart of his father. So the fact that we focus on the son takes away from what Jesus was trying to narrate.
Right. Right.
Or what Jesus wanted us to see.
Mm-hmm.
When you study the son, when the son left home,
mm-hmm.
you can consider the son to be,
living in sin because it was squandering.
Yeah, just like we say, sin, you know, distances us from God. Yeah. Sin takes us away from the Father. Yeah. So the son decides to go and he takes everything and he lavishes it.
Mm-hmm.
You can also think about the way the son lived as what wayward looks like. He was partying, he was with women. You then look at the consequences of, you know, his wayward choices.
Yeah. Loss.
Mm-hmm. Death.
Yeah.
Eating with pigs.
Yeah.
And then while he was in, he says, you know what? Why am I even doing this? My father has this place. Even servants live better.
Yeah.
Religion wants you to think about it. That's the realization. He's coming to, oh, I need God. Oh, I'm far gone.
Yeah.
So religion wants you to think that's what is happening. That's okay. What the guy was thinking.
Okay.
And then the guy said, I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. Religion wants you to do that. It teaches you that. God accepts you when you come back to him and tell him, oh, Father, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
God, I've done this thing. I'm sorry.
So it imputes.
Importance
of you coming into awareness of what you've done wrong
Taking an action to come back to the Father.
Yeah.
And then repenting of your sin, confessing your sins, confessing what you've done wrong.
Yeah.
And perhaps in your confession, you will receive the embrace of the Father, which is forgiveness.
Yeah.
And then once you receive the embrace of the Father, then you go into the position the Father has for you. You start living like the good son.
Okay.
So it fits that narrative.
But if you look at it from the dad's perspective, it puts a different spin on it.
Because the father's story is that he was always out waiting for his son to return.
He was always expectant for his son to return. I accept that looking at it from a different angle, like you suggested, changes our perspective. And I embrace that. But I also think that the reason why there was some emphasis laid on the sons is because we were to see that angle of the children as well. not just the father's heart.
I think what I'm going to do is read the story. I think it's useful we read the story. So I'm reading from Luke chapter 15 from verse 11.
Yeah.
It says, Jesus continued. It might be useful because he says Jesus continued to know
where he started from.
Yeah. So the first story was the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd that goes find the lost sheep.
Yeah.
Jesus continued. There's a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death.
Okay.
He says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against you.
Okay.
I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father.
Mm-hmm. Pause at that point and say, what if he died there and he didn't go to his father? What if he died?
If he died, he never stopped being a son.
Never stopped being a son, but he never got restored to where he was.
Yeah, but what you are thinking is that the story ended up being a good story because the father got him back into the house.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not what makes the story the great story it is. What makes the great story it is that the father was there to open his arms for his son that left him.
He still wouldn't have, it would not have come into embrace of his father if he died in the pig's sty.
Yeah, but if he died in the pig's sty, so what? We know how Jacob mourned the death of Joseph when he didn't come back, when his brother sold him stuff. So, and that story was about the love Jacob had for Joseph. This story is also about the love the father had for his son.
Okay.
So it's not so much so about how the son left home and then came back home, because when he was coming back home anyway, he wasn't coming back home to, oh, I'm going to go back to my father and then become a son again.
If it's about that, if that story was just about the love the father has for that son, why don't we just talk about the son that stayed at home?
Well, this is it. The son that stayed home, we know that he didn't know his father's love anyway. He didn't know his father's love. So we saw that in the story, right?
Yeah.
Because he said, oh, I've been with you since. Why don't I have everything that this guy had? You didn't even throw a party for me or something.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that other son stayed home.
We saw that.
Yeah. But what Jesus was what Jesus was talking about is like saying, oh, why don't we make this about the 99 sheep? Well, the shepherd go to find the one. The story Jesus, or what Jesus wants us to see here, is the heart of the father for a son that has left home and is lost.
So that
perhaps you and I find ourselves in a position where we are feeling lost. We know that the heart of the Father is always about us returning to Him. That's why He's telling the story.
Okay, so that means we do need to take that action to return.
So this is where I am, right?
Okay.
If you take the action to return,
yeah,
that's fine.
Okay.
If you do not return, have a confidence that the heart of your Father for you is love, and you can never lose that heart. If you go back into the house, you attest to a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go back to the house, the point is your Father always, always has your heart.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we think that the good story that we have as human beings
mm-hmm.
is when we repent, we have a moment to have this transaction with God that gives us a sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain what I mean. So it means that if, for instance, anybody's doing something that they think is anti-God,
mm-hmm.
all they just need to do is, God, forgive me. I don't know if that happened to you.
Always.
Oh, God, forgive me. And
that's
then,
where there's always rededication in church.
As long as I quickly get my moment of God, forgive me, then I should be safe because I returned.
Yeah.
But that's not what the story is.
Hence,
how many times would you keep coming back to say, God, forgive me, I return? The conversation here is the heart of a father that always longs for his son. And even when the son decides to go away, the father's heart never, never
departs
from the son.
I get
that. That's what the story is.
That's what the story is. And I love that.
Yes.
I love that. That's where the core of the message.
That's the message.
However,
mm.
I'm asking and I'm prodding these questions because the reason why we're in restraints
mm.
in the body of Christ, why people don't understand their position, where they don't understand they've always been with him and the love of God has always been with them, is because there is a limitation. There's the concept of, if I am lost, there's something I need to do to come back, to be found. How do we then, as we walk with God, we need to kind of drum on this kind of aspect, the kind of obligations which we have grown up to know.
Yeah, what's the obligation?
The obligations that we've grown up to know that we have fallen short, we have all sinned and fallen short, and there's a requirement to do something to come back to God. And not knowing that even in that lost place that God is with you, a lot of times is what mediators feel. That space.
Mm.
That's I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about like people that feel they represent God.
Mm.
Where we don't need to have
mm.
representatives of God anymore.
Mm.
You know, who will then tell you, in some extreme cases, you find people being told to do things in a certain manner to restore them back to God.
Mm.
So the reason I'm asking these questions is not because, like I said, you know, as we grow, we're getting enlightened, but there is something that makes you feel limited. I can't access this grace.
Yeah, so I understand. And I think that what I am speaking to
mm-hmm.
can help with why we are thinking the way we are thinking in the first place.
Okay.
The way we are thinking in the first place is counter what the story is about.
Okay.
Okay. The way religion is presented the story to us
mm-hmm.
is counter what the story is about.
This is your one.
So because we are focused on the lie in the story, we live in a state of constant conflict
mm-hmm.
and dissonance to what the story really is. So we are living conflicted. We are living, oh, I need to do this. I need to repent. I need to, oh, I think I'm so far gone. Perhaps you even find somebody to say, can you help me beg my dad? Or can you help me? Some people will serve you with fasting. If you fast for 30 days, God will then forgive you.
Thank
or
you.
If you confess to a priest, God will judge. So, but that's because the story, when it was being told to us, somehow, I don't know how, They made it about the son that left home and came back. And so you look at yourself, it's like you identify with that character, right?
Okay.
But that's not why Jesus told the story. So Jesus, just imagine that Jesus knew all the kind of grounds that there were and all the kind of grounds that, you know, his word was going to be planted in. Regardless the ground, only one assurance brings salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The assurance that brings salvation is the true knowledge of the Father. So what Jesus was speaking to was the truth about the Father. As soon as the Father saw him from far,
mm-hmm.
look at what it says. It says, as soon as he saw him, it says his Father filled with compassion for him.
Mm.
You know, it was always about the talking Father's about compassion.
The heart of the Father.
It was always about the heart. It says he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him.
And you can imagine what state it was in, you know?
It was like, oh, I found my son. Back in the Father's embrace. Again in the Father's embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Jesus, when we look at repentance, helps us see what repentance and who repentance is. Because the Father's embrace is Jesus. So when you and I are in repentance, we are in Jesus. Christ. Not we have stopped eating with pigs. Because all of that is still, you know, it's just your story.
Circumstantial.
It's not because, you know, like, oh, we decided we're going to come up with a great speech. Because if you really read here, he says, then the son said to him, Father, he wanted to start. Is this thing? I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the Father said to his servant, quick. Like, it's not about what you're saying. Before you start thinking about how everything you've done overwhelms you, it says, bring the best robe and put it on him.
Mm.
It didn't say, go inside and go and wash yourself. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead.
Mm.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
How was he dead? He was, you know, he was dead because he was imagining the worst and going through the worst of life without the knowledge of his father or his father's love.
Mm.
He set himself up to live, you know, like I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and now he's alive again. He was lost. And now he's found.
Mm.
So they began to celebrate.
Mm. So focusing on things like where he was, that state he was in when he left home, focusing on those things that they did as sin, is where inadvertently saying that those things don't particularly, they're not important. That's not that part of the story. Is not what we need to be looking at, because those are the things that make us feel unworthy. Those are the things that make us feel that we need to do something to deserve grace.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm bringing that back to what I'm coming to is that our focus has been askew,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, because we look at the sinful life and we categorize people by the sinful life, and we use that to keep people outside of God, where God wants them to be in him so that they can be out of that life.
Mm.
So I think why I'm bringing that out is because, like, ever since I having a conversation with you about things of faith and things of walking and knowing God, there's something that remains prominent.
Mm.
And that thing is that in our walk with God, as we've been growing up, because of how scriptures have been relayed to us, we unconsciously carry a sense or we carry a burden of us being unworthy. There's a life we live, there's a way we behave, that keeps us away from God. We're not, and we're made to feel like we need to come away from those things to come into God. But what we are seeing from the prodigal son story, which we're able to discuss now, is that we don't have to, it's not coming out of those things. Those things are not important. It's being with God. We need to, what religion tries to do is to tell you that you can do something to keep you away from him. There's certain things that can separate you from the love of God. That, yes.
Mm.
And that's what we need to drive home by this story. There's nothing, that love, I mean, we've read it in Romans 8, but a lot of times we sometimes just recite scripture and it doesn't become really, really apparent to us.
Mm.
But I think what we've just been able to establish is that he could sense the love of his father in the pigsty.
Yeah.
In that place.
Yeah,
and that sensing of the love is what activated the turnaround. So when we put that impetus on people, when we put that requirement on people, like when somebody wants to come to church, and this sounds very, very flippant, but maybe they come to church in their mini skirts and in their off shoulder, and when they're coming in, you're already telling them at the door, you're putting a shawl over them, like, you can't come in here like that. But when the father threw his arms around the prodigal son, he was filthy.
Mm.
There was no chance for him to get clean.
Mm.
And that's what I wanted to draw out from you. I wanted you, you know, for us to set the scene of what it really looks like. The love of God is established in our filth. I'll call it that.
Yeah.
And we can feel it even then.
Yeah.
Because religion can almost make you feel like you can't.
Mm.
I don't know if I'm making any sense of where I'm going with this.
I love that. Because while you were talking, I could see like a picture of something that religion does and actually what is true about coming into the knowledge of the Father. Even when we come in without sometimes incomplete revelation of who he is, because the complete revelation is in the oneness with him. But sometimes it's a journey.
It is.
So just think about that son thinking, in my father's house, even servants do better.
He wasn't thinking as a son.
He was thinking about his father. He was thinking about
the nature
of the father, even to servants. He was thinking, just being with my father is, you know, I think if you kind of, what comes to mind is remembering David saying, I would rather be a gatekeeper in God's house, you know, than be so far away.
Yeah.
It was as if he had that moment. He was thinking, I'd rather be a servant in my dad's house than living in this field where I can't find any way, you know, I'm at a dead end. I'm at the end of myself, right? And so he thought about that. So he got into the knowledge of the Father. He wasn't necessarily into the revelation of his love yet, but he had some insight about his father.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started to return to his father. I think what Jesus wanted us to know is the reconciliation message, or the reconciliation of us to the Father, has always been what the Father is about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean? So the guy is thinking, I will go home and reconcile with my father. What reconciliation is to us is, you know, our narrating.
Let me pour out all my wrongdoings.
Exactly.
And be absolved of
it. Exactly. But the story, when we look at the father, helps us see that that isn't
in his mind at all.
It's not our initiative at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not by what we do at all, is about how the Father runs to us and embraces us to feel you're welcome, embraces us and calls us to feel worthy.
Mm.
Just think about it. Do you think while that is happening, the son is still not thinking, wow,
it feels more undeserving even.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like feeling worse. Like, oh my God, why am I getting this kind of treatment?
It's okay if you feel sometimes undeserving. Because I tell you, the father putting a robe on the son changing the sun doesn't make, wouldn't make the sun go, oh yeah, I'm back to 100%. He probably has to go home and learn more about his father to know that actually my father never stopped loving me. My father never stopped wanting me to come back. In fact, my father's heart has been broken since the first day I left. Oh, perhaps it's even the prayer of my father that has returned me home. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's going to take the son building that relationship with the father to know that. But you know what is important? Is that the father embraced him and celebrated him.
Mm-hmm.
When God sees the reconciliation and the life that we have now in him, he rejoices over it. You know, when God knows that, you know,
when
like
you come into the knowledge of your oneness,
into the knowledge of,
it makes his heart glow.
Who it is,
yeah,
he celebrates it.
Yeah,
I think that changes the narrative of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you feel that you're so distant from God, all you just need to do is say, do you know what, God? Like, I feel so distant. Can I just feel your embrace? You know, or you can say, oh God, I feel like I do not know you, but you know, I can reflect on the stuff I you know, where my doubts are. Mm-hmm. I can reflect and banter with you on where my doubts are, right? Mm-hmm. You can feel that, you can say that. I think the other part of the story that we haven't touched on is the brother that was home.
Mm-hmm.
Because the brother that was home felt like, oh, all I need to do to be to not detach myself from the inheritance of my father is to stay
responsible brother.
Be the responsible brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, I don't even really need to do much. And now the father comes back. Is, you know, the son is back, the lost son. You know, I'm very careful that we move from the prodigal son to the lost son.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does something different. When someone is lost, you know, it's like you start a journey and you just didn't know where it was going to end, and you've just found yourself in a dark space.
Mm-hmm.
That's what loss looks like.
Mm-hmm.
When it's prodigal, it feels like you have intentionally taken yourself to, you know, like this, to, you've intentionally separated yourself. You've intentionally, like, gone your own way.
Yeah.
So if you read the story, the theme in your Bible says the prodigal son.
Because he left intention.
But Jesus said, the father said, my lost son. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you read it, it tells you the title is the prodigal son.
Yeah.
But when Jesus narrates the father, he says, my dead son is back to life. My lost son has been found. Because being lost helps you know that there was probably something you thought was going to give you something at the end, and you followed that way, and there was no way in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like, I just found myself longing for home, and somehow, somewhere, even while I was afar off, my father came embracing me and welcoming me back home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the grace of God.
Yeah.
It opens you up to understand that father is about grace.
Yeah.
But when you think the prodigal son, you think, gone too far deep. I am far deep into this darkness I've put upon myself.
Mm-hmm.
I am this and I am that. Oh, I can't even begin to find my way home. You know, and then you find yourself in this space where your unworthiness carries on to even your relationship with the father.
Mm-hmm.
You continue to doubt everything. You are never confident to enter into the fullness of life that he has for you.
Yeah.
Just imagine that son coming back home, and then 3 weeks later, he feels like traveling. You probably go, How will I even tell my dad I want to travel? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you, but actually where you know that, oh, I want to travel, you just tell a son, I'm going to travel. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to return.
Yeah.
Because you know that there is no disconnect between you and your father anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course.
Yeah. And that's in he's restoring you. He's giving you the fullness to do anything and everything you want to do.
Yeah.
Without apologizing.
Yeah. And that is, it's not time limited. It's not like I'm restoring you to do everything and anything you want to do until you mess up again.
Exactly.
It's not limited. There's no limit on it. Like you're embraced totally and entirely with no, that's why the Bible talks about it, cast everything you've done into the sea of forgetfulness. Is like a whole new page. You know, that's no longer is of no relevance anymore.
You're collecting your stuff. He remembers no more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The son at home didn't get that.
Mm.
He didn't understand that, oh, what I need to do is know my father.
Yeah, he elevated the works, compliance, you know, and you might find actually, because it is the elder son, and you might find that a lot of elder or firstborn children labor under this kind of expectation where they feel like I have to do right, like I can't mess up. I'm, you know, I'm the prototype. You have this burden on you that was never really God's design, and that's again part of cultural imposition, and that filters through. And that's probably why the elder brother thought, how can I have been so solid, how can I have been so, you know, dependable, and I'm not recognized for my, you know, my worth.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think just look at what it says. It says the oldest son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
So they told him, oh, your brother is returned. So the older brother became angry and he refused to go in.
Mm-hmm. You want to join the party?
So his father went and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Look at that.
Mm.
There were a lot of people
in that category,
that
in that state of mind,
that are in that state of mind. And in fact,
I kept myself. I was a good girl. I wasn't wayward. And what's going on? I'm now here, and you know, things are not happening how I expected. I'm not getting married. I want to get married. I can't get married. Mm. Kids are not coming along. I'm married and no kids are coming along. Mm. Oh, I've studied hard. I passed all my exams. I didn't party. And now it's time to get a job. I'm not getting a job.
Mm.
So those are the struggles.
You see that. I think even here, Jesus speaks to the heart of something beyond what is physical that we see. I see the heart of Jesus for the Pharisees and the Jews and the Sanhedrins and the Sadducees. You know, to them, they feel like they are these people who have, let me echo the word of your older brother. It says, look, all these years have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You know, they feel like we have been the custodian of the laws. We have tried to, you know, do the law, do everything.
Uphold you, to keep you as a mantle. To
make sure
that everyone looks at you and don't mess with you. To
make sure that we keep the dealings of the father.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy who went into the camp of the Gentiles and lived very, in fact, even ate with pigs. You know what? Do you know what pigs is like to those Jews?
Mm.
Unclean.
Mm-hmm.
This unclean being is back and you're rejoicing. It didn't feel fair. It didn't feel fair when Jesus presented himself as, behold the Lamb of God that takes away. All you just need to do is believe, and anyone that believes enters. It didn't feel fair.
Mm, that's grace, isn't it?
It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I've been doing it right
600 and something laws, is it? We've kept it. We know we are not perfect in keeping it, but we've kept it. We've held on to you as, okay, the one who we need to obey. But
you're just going to come and just tell me.
Jesus is saying, well, you got the wrong view. Because the view wasn't about you being here, being the one that is trying to obey.
They needed to do that.
The view is, you've always been with me. You've always known me. You've always, you know, you've got the wrong view. The view is always about, you've always been here to have my heart and you can do whatever you want.
Just focus on something else.
But you've got yourself focused on the works that you enjoyed doing that nobody gave to you. Isn't it still the same today?
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Isn't it still the same today? You know, forget the different religions that try to put obligations on you. But even you as a Christian, are you in that position where you're like,
it just
doesn't have to be that way. You know, it doesn't feel fair when I think about grace. You know, you go, I don't have anything, but you know, I could steal too, but I'm deciding not to. You know, sometimes I have to just steal already because it's not about you not stealing. Do you get it? You could go, oh, I could lie too, but I'm just not lying. Tell the lie already. It's not about you not lying. It's about, do you see the heart of the Father that you are with? Do you know that he's not loving you, or, you know, looking at you and rewarding you, or asking, or, you know, like blessing you because you're earning your dues from what you're doing?
That's not it.
Do you know that? Do you know that his heart? Do you know that his heart is reconciliation? Because if you knew that, his heart is about reconciliation, and his joy is having his children together, and he's heartbroken by the brother who's lost. Perhaps the elder brother would have gone to look for the younger one and said to him, do you need to come home because dad can't wait to see you? Do you get what I mean?
That would have been a different angle entirely, isn't it?
Perhaps it would have been like, do you know what, dad?
I'll go get him.
I'll go get him because I know where he is. But you know, there's something strange about that story too. The elder brother had no relationship with the younger one.
Wow.
Because to him, it was about remaining the son
remaining
of his father. Remaining right so he can remain the son of his father. Not necessarily believing in the value of family,
of the oneness,
reconciliation together. That the Father is about. It's interesting. Very interesting. And I think we can begin to really wrap it up.
It's been quite a conversation. I really like the tangent this has gone. And I feel like I can say at this point that, you know, from what we've discussed, we've been able to establish that both sons needed grace. Needed the grace of God to be able to come back into God's embrace, and for the one that was at home to understand that he was always with God.
I think there's a difference between needing grace and knowing grace.
Okay.
Because when you think you need grace, it feels like you need an enablement to do something. But when you know grace, it gives you an assurance.
It's available anyway.
In that confidence of what grace really is.
Mm.
So the two needed to know the grace
that was available,
in their father.
Yeah.
The grace to restore a lost son, and the grace of the one who stayed home to live freely.
To say something controversial, so even so, religion is really just suffering from not knowing grace.
That's what it is. Religion literally turns its back on grace and says grace cannot be it.
It's too easy.
It's an enablement to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
So for religion, even if grace is it, grace will only be part of the conversation to enable us to do what it really is. But when you come into the fullness of the Father, you find that grace is the destination. Grace is who the Father is. There is no grace doing it, but actually grace establishing it. Grace finishing it. Grace putting an end to it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So we're saying then that once you come into God and that grace is available to you, you need nothing more to be able to walk in the new man. That's it.
Because the new man is a man that is full of grace. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so Paul said and that I hope that you grow in the height, the depth, the width, you know, the knowledge of the grace of God. You wanted to say something?
I was going to say, so we don't equate the new man as the new man full of grace being void of what we term setbacks and fall.
Yeah. I really think there is, maybe because we like fairy tales and there's always this happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that we think that the lost son coming home is like the happy ending,
mm-hmm.
and then he was good forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be shocked 1 year down the line he wants to leave the house again.
Happened again.
But if he goes again, the grace, knowing the grace of a father is knowing that the father is always with me.
Mm-hmm.
The father wants me back.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question you ask yourself is, can he go and go and go and go again? There must be a time the father will say, I've had enough of you. Because
mm-hmm.
that's we. Mm-hmm. We're humans.
Humans, do. Yeah.
But Jesus said that there is nobody that comes to me that I cast away. There is nobody that, you know, embraces me, opens the door to me that I let go. There's nobody. So the son becomes assured in the person of his father who is great. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And perhaps focusing on grace will, you know, satisfy this curiosity that is in his heart that wants him to continue to explore.
Yeah.
Mm.
And causes him to look elsewhere. This has been nice. We hope you've enjoyed this as much as we have. And before we go, I want to ask you to, you know, just reflect on your identity as a beloved child of God. Does this parable challenge your understanding of repentance or forgiveness? See you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.